Great to see everybody. Hope everyone is doing well. Is that Razel Litwin? Hey, Razel. How are you? Baruch Hashem. This is so wonderful. So good evening, Baruch Hashem. We're beginning a new Sefer, a new Parsha. Very, very exciting. We went through the entirety on Zoom. Unfortunately, on Zoom, we went through the entire Sefer Bereishis. And now, unfortunately, we're beginning Sefer Shmos as well on Zoom. And Yirtzeh Hashem, I look forward that we should not finish Sefer Shmos on Zoom. We should be able to be together in person. As well as that I see my mother is joining us right now for a few moments. She's learning with my daughter. But I want to give a special happy birthday to my mother, whose birthday is tomorrow. So happy birthday, Tama. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we look forward to seeing you in person as well. So happy birthday. Thank you for everything. And Dad as well. I appreciate it. Okay, so...
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Ma. So the truth is as we typically do, we normally ask three distinct questions, and we try to tie it all together. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to ask two questions. Perhaps by doing so, it will give us greater insight into what's going on, a little bit what's going on in this week's Parsha. So the Torah tells us in the opening psukim of this week's Parsha that these are the names, Ve'elah Shemos B'nei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayimah, who came to Mitzrayim with Yaakov. And then it lists all of the Shiftei Kah. And then it tells us, V'Yosef Hayo B'Mitzrayim. And Yosef was with them in Mitzrayim. Rashi comes and bavorns, he anticipates a question. V'halohu Ubanov B'chlal Shivim. Were not he and his sons included among the 70? Uma Ba L'Lamdenu. What does the Torah teach us by specifically mentioning Yosef? V'chilo Hainu Yodim Shehu Haya B'Mitzrayim. Don't we already know that he was already in Egypt? Ella, rather, says Rashi, quoting Chazal, Lohodiacha Tzidkaso Shel Yosef. It's coming to teach us the righteousness of Yosef. Hu Yosef Haroa Eson Aviv. It was Yosef who was a shepherd of his father's flock. Hu Yosef Shahoya B'Mitzrayim. It was the Yosef who was in Mitzrayim. V'nase Melech and became a king. V'omed B'Tzidko. And even though he lived in Egypt and he rose to power, he was the viceroy of Paro in Egypt, nonetheless, V'omed B'Tzidko, he still remained righteous. This is a beautiful thought about the righteousness and the accolade of Yosef. However, it doesn't really belong here. It belongs in last week's Parsha. This is already a new beginning. This is already talking about the next generation. Why doesn't it discuss the fact that Yosef was in Mitzrayim at the end of last week's Parsha? That was the Parsha that Yosef HaTzadik dies. That was the end of the Shiftei Kah, the generation that followed Yaakov, and now we're beginning an entirely new generation. In the aftermath of Yosef's death, at that moment we should talk about the Yosef Hoyo B'Mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Egypt. At that moment in the Parsha, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, is when we should talk about V'Yosef was Omed B'Tzidko, that Yosef, in spite of the fact that he rose to prominence in Mitzrayim, he still remained righteous. He still remained with clarity. He still had the vision of his father on a day-to-day basis. What is it doing in this week's Parsha, V'Yosef Hoyo B'Mitzrayim? It really should be at the end of last week's Parsha, V'Yomas Yosef, and Yosef died ben Me'a Ve'Eser Shanim, that he was 110 years old. At that moment in time, the Torah should say, V'Yosef Hoyo B'Mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim, telling us about his godless, his righteousness. Not in the beginning of this week's Parsha. That's our first question. Our second question. We all know that the Torah tells us, Vayoka Melech Chodosh al Mitzrayim, that a new king arose to prominence in Egypt, and he had all of these gezeros, all of these decrees enacted against Klal Yisrael, against the Jewish people. Perhaps the first exposure that the Jewish people had to real anti-Semitism. He had come and created a hostile environment for the Jewish people to live in. And it was very effective. And he killed people and Jews. And he made the lives of Jews very, very difficult. And it was at that point in time where Amram, the Gadol Hador, had separated from his wife. But it was short-lived. As the Torah tells us, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, that an Ish, a man from Beis Levi, from the house of Levi, went. Vayikach es Bas Levi, he went, and he took Bas Levi, a daughter of Levi, none other than Yocheved. These are the parents of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rashi comes and tells us, what does that mean, Vayelech, that he went? So Rashi tells us that Parish Hoya Mimena Bipnei Gzeiras Paro, that he had been separated from her because of the decree of Paro. Paro had said that all of the baby boys had to be thrown into the river. So what happened? V'chazar v'tlacha. He remarried her. He went back and he took her. And that's why it says Vayelech. He went back and took her. V'zehu Vayelech. Shaholach ba'atzaz bito. He went following the advice of his daughter Miriam. Sha'amra lo. She said to him, Gezeirascha kasha mishel paro, that your decree is more severe than that of Paro. In Paro gozar al hazacharim, if Paro would have only decreed on the males, v'atah, and you, gamkein al hanekevos, and you, not only are you decreeing upon the males, but you're also decreeing upon the nekevos, the females as well. What did he do? He went back and he took her. She was right. Her argument to her father, the Gadol Hador, resonated. It made sense. And ultimately, he took back his wife. And from that union came the greatest Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu. But asks Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel a fantastic, profound question. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos that mi ka Kodesh Baruch Hu, who's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheyodea la'asos pshara ben shnei tzadikim, who knows how to compromise between two righteous people, ben Chizkiyo liYoshio, between King Melech Chizkiyo and the prophet Yishayahu. Chizkiyo omer lesi Yishayo gabai, let Yishayo come to me. And then he comes along Yoshio and says, no, let Chizkiyo come to me. So what happened? Ma asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He created a compromise. Hevi Yisurim al Chizkiyo. He brought punishment and ailment and suffering upon Chizkiyo. Va'amar lo liYoshio. He told to Yoshio, Lech ubaker es achola. Go and visit that sick one. Shenamar, as it says in the pasuk, by Yomim Ohem, it was in those days, Chala Chizkiyo Lomos, that Chizkiyo was about to die. Vayovo Elav Yishayo ben Amoz Hanavin, Yishayo came to him, Vayomer Elav. He said to him, Ko Omar Hashem, this is so what Hashem said. Tzav lebeisecha, go and instruct your household, ki meis ata, you will die below tzichya, and you will not live. So the Gemara asks an obvious question. My kimeis atav lo sichya. What does that mean that you are dying and you will not live? Obviously, if you are dying, the assumption means that you will not live. So the Gemara explains. The Gemara says, meis atav ba'olam hazeh. You're dying in this world, velo sichya, and you will not live in the world to come. So upon hearing this, Chizkiyahu asked, why was he deserving? So Amar Leich Chizkiyo says to Yishayo, my kulehai, why do I deserve such a terrible end? Amar Leich Yishayo says, Mishum delo asakta bepiria v'rivya, because you're not engaging in the mitzvah to multiply and to be fruitful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us, peru uravu umil'u es haaretz. Multiply, be fruitful, and fill the land. That's basic 101. That's why we're put into this world, is to ensure that the world is full with people. So Amar Lei Chizkiyo said to him, but there's a reason, there's an explanation. Mishum dechazi li b'ruach hakodesh, that I saw through ruach hakodesh, through divine spirit. Denafki minai binin delomalu, I saw that a Rasha, Menashe, was going to come for me. And I couldn't possibly consider being mekayim this mitzvah, fulfilling this mitzvah, knowing that I'm going to have a seed, a zera, that will bring destruction to Klal Yisrael. But ultimately, he was punished for such a cheshbon, such a calculation. Because that's not a calculation that a person can take. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to be mekayim a mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fulfill the Torah. Leave all of the calculations, all the cheshbonos to me. Your requirement as a Jew, as a person who inhabits this world, is to have children. Whether there's going to be a bad seed that's going to come from you, that should not be part of your calculations. So ask Trebelli Baruch Finkel, why was Miriam giving such a lumdus, such an explanation, creating a distinction between Paro and her father? Paro only wanted to decree against the males, but you're also coming and decreeing against the females. Why is Miriam coming and saying such a lumdish avard, such a chiluk, such a distinction, a brisker methodology that's creating a trade dinim, two different ideas between a zachar and a keva? What she should have said is exactly what had happened between Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. Very simple. Tati, Abba, Daddy, Godel Hador, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you to inhabit the world, to ensure that there's the next generation. It's not for you to make a cheshbon, not for you to make a calculation. So Paro's going to kill the baby? Okay. Maybe yes, maybe not. That's not your cheshbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the cheshbonos. Your job is to be mekayim kol haTorah kula. You have to fulfill the dictum, the words of the Torah. And Chizkiyahu was punished because he wasn't willing to do so. Why didn't Miriam just come and tell her father, Zok the Torah says, Puruvu, and you're not mekayim that tata. Why would you not fulfill the words of Hashem? But she didn't say that. Clearly, there's something more that Miriam is trying to convey to her father, that she came and gave such a lumdish mahalach, such a fascinating idea of creating a distinction between Paro and what Amram was trying to accomplish. So what is it that Miriam was suggesting to her father? In order to answer this question, we have to have a deeper insight into the pasuk that tells us Vatirena Hamiyaldos Esho Elokin, that the Miyaldos, the Jewish midwives, referring to Yocheved and Miriam, the very same Miriam that gave her father this Eitzah, this instruction, they feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the simplistic understanding is that they weren't willing to kill these babies. But the Chidah tells us that there was something else. There was another type of fear. There was something else going on that they weren't willing to do that which Paro had commanded them to do. Says the Chidah that not only did Paro commanded the Miyaldos to kill the Jewish babies, but he also commanded that they come and have relations with Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Paro demanded that these Miyaldos, these Jewish midwives, the wife of Amram and the daughter of Yocheved, Miriam and Yocheved, Paro commanded that they have relations with Paro. Bigeshu mehem lishachev imahem. Paro had seduced them, coerced them, demanded that they be with him. But what happened? Vatirena hamiyados esho elokim. They feared HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sirvu umasru atzman al kedushas Hashem. They refused his advances, and they were willing to sacrifice their lives in order to sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Why were they willing to sacrifice their lives? They weren't yet given the Torah. Perhaps they were not mechuyavos. They were not obligated to sacrifice their lives, even if it meant that they had to come and cohabitate with this Russia Paro. Well, then why did they do it? Says the Chidah, Kedei lilmod das libnos Yisrael shebidorom ubidoros ha'asid. Miriam and Yocheved, they understood their responsibility to the generations of Yiddish girls, of Jewish girls, for generations and generations to come until the end of time. They understood that their actions will be implanted into the DNA of every girl in Klal Yisrael for generations and generations. And therefore, they set a geder ba'arayos. They set a border. And they created that ability for every Jewish girl in the future, whenever faced with this type of situation, to be moser nafshom, to give up their lives in order to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And ultimately, because of that, vatichayena es hayiladim, the generations and generations survived and lived. And I believe that that is what Miriam was telling her father Amram. That Paro only wanted to kill the Jewish babies, the Jewish male babies. But what you're doing is you're taking away the opportunity of the Nikevos as well. You're taking away the Chios, the opportunity of the Jewish girls to be Moser Nafshom, to give up their lives, to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim. Paro is only getting rid of the male boys. But you, by doing this, you're not allowing the Jewish mothers to have daughters. And you're not enabling the Jewish daughters to be Moser Nafshom, to give up their lives, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim. It wasn't just an issue of having children. Because if it was an issue of having children, Miriam would have used the same svara, the same logic that Yishayahu told Chizkiyahu. Why are you not fulfilling the words of the Torah? But Miriam was saying something much more. She was saying, Tata, your plan is Gamkein al Hanekevos, is also on the girls. You're not allowing the girls to fulfill their tafkid, their mission in life. It's through the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, the righteous women, that ultimately ensures the Kedusha and the Tara, the sanctity and the purity of Am Yisrael. You're taking away the girls' unbelievable opportunity. If you leave your wife and she can't have children and she can't have a girl, how is that girl going to be Moser Nafshom? How is she going to come and sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu by willing to give up their lives to serve the Avishner? It wasn't only about having children. It was about having children and ensuring that they're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And that's our responsibility as well. We're not only meant to have children. And yes, there is an aspect that Kodesh Baruch Hu commands us. Pru uravu umilu es haaretz. Have children and fill the world with them. But there's another aspect to having children. There's having children and ensuring that these children understand their responsibility to be mekadesh shem shemayim. It's not only about having children. It's about having children and teaching them right from wrong. Teaching them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Teaching them what it means to be a Yid, to be a Jew. Teaching them that there is the Torah and that they have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and love doing His mitzvos. And these are not restrictions, but they're opportunities to be Mekadesh, to sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Miriam was giving over to her father. And ultimately, Amram, he agreed with her. He said, you're right, there's more than simply having children. It's about having children and allowing them to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And ultimately, from that union, from that allowing himself to listen to his daughter, ultimately, the greatest Jew who was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim like no other Jew was born. Our responsibility is a dual component, having children and teaching these children about Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. Essentially, this was the schus of what Miriam taught Amram, the schus of Miriam and Yocheved, be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, by not giving in to the demands and the seduction of Paro, even if a man risking their lives. It was in that schus, says Chazal, that ultimately allowed Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim. Halalu avdei avodah zarah, v'halalu avdei avodah zarah. The Egyptians served idols, and so did we. Well then, why were we Zoche? In what schus, in what merit, did Klal Yisrael deserve to be taken out of Mitzrayim? And Chazal tells us that it was in the schus Arba Dvarim Nigalu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, that it was in the schus of four mitzvos, or four hanhagos, four ideas or concepts that Klal Yisrael took upon themselves that ultimately allowed them to leave Mitzrayim in spite of the fact that they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And one of them was Shelo Hayu Bahem Prutzim Ba'arayos, that we were not engaged in amoral behavior. We were not involved in arayos. We were not seduced by the Egyptians, even if it meant that we were going to risk our lives and to die al Kiddush Hashem. It was in the schus of Miriam and Yocheved, infusing into that next generation, that set into motion, ultimately, Klal Yisrael being able to leave Egypt. And that perhaps is why it was in this week's Parsha that the Torah tells us V'Yosef Haya B'Mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel asked, why do we need to know Yosef's Tzidkus in this Parsha? This is the Parsha that's talking about the generation that will be enslaved to Paro and Mitzrayim. It's not anything to do with the Shvatim, not anything to do with Yosef and his generation or earlier generations. So then why do we mention the Yosef Hayav the Mitzrayim if Yosef already passed away? Why do we care about the righteousness of Yosef? So I suggest the reason why is because the Yosef Hayav the Mitzrayim. The Medrash told us that there were four hanhagos. There are four ideas that Klal Yisrael, customs that Klal Yisrael took upon themselves. One is they weren't going to involve themselves in arayos. But another one was Shelo Shinuei Hashemam, that they wouldn't change their names. What the Pasuk is telling us is V'Yosef Hayah B'Mitzrayim, that Yosef was in Mitzrayim at the exclusion of Tzafnas Paneach. The Torah tells us in Parshas Miketz, the Torah tells us that Yosef had rose to a position of prominence. He was able to come and interpret the dreams of Paro. His magicians, his people weren't able to tell him, why is he having these nightmares? And finally Yosef was able to, because he was one that was able to interpret ideas and dreams. Paro was so impressed, he gave him his chariot. And he told Yosef that you're in charge. And then the Torah tells us, Vayikra Paro Shem Yosef. And Paro called Yosef, Tzafnas Paneach. And there are different understandings and interpretations exactly what that name means. We saw the Netziv has a beautiful pshat. But he gave Yosef an Egyptian name. But comes along Reb Zalman Sirotzkin in Aznayim LeTorah on this pasuk. And he says something fascinating, and it's necessary to know. Because without it, it would be very difficult to understand how Klal Yisrael was able to be redeemed from exile. Rav Zalman Sirotzkin tells us, Hashem Hazeh, this name, Niskar Batorah Rak Pam Achaz, this name of Tzatnos Paneach, that Paro had given, he had given Yosef this Egyptian Gentile name. It was only mentioned once in the Torah. Umizen Nikar, from here we see, She Yosef Lo Hishtamesh Bo, that Yosef never used this name, Rak Bishmo HaIvri. He only used his Jewish name. He used the name that he was given by his father Yaakov Avinu. And that's what the Torah is telling us. V'Yosef Hayav Mitzrayim, that even though Paro wanted to come and ensure that Yosef assimilated among all the other Gentiles, among the Egyptians, by giving him a Gentile name. But Yosef Hayav Mitzrayim, Yosef never forgot. Yosef remained committed to the ideas and the values of his illustrious father Jacob. The Yosef Omeid B'Tzidkaso, it was the same Yosef that tended to the flock of his father. The Yosef Hayav B'Mitzrayim, even in Mitzrayim, he wasn't Tzafnas Paneach, but he was Yosef. The Yosef, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. And that's what the Medrash was telling us. Ba'arba Dvarim, Nigalu Yisrael Mimitzrayim, four ideas and things and customs that Klal Yisrael had taken upon themselves. One was that they did not engage in arayos, and the other, Shaloshanu Shemam, that they didn't change their names. It's written in this parsha to tell us that, yes, Klal Yisrael, you are in exile. You are now going to be enslaved to Paro for 210 back-breaking hard years. The Bnei Yisrael will be enslaved beforech ba'avodah kasha. Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael al Hashem, that they're going to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're going to be on the 49th level of Tumah. But the first perek, the first psukim of this parsha, already, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Gedolei Hador, already are setting into motion the redemption of Am Yisrael. And that's what it means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always gives Klal Yisrael the refuah before the Makkah. He always gives Klal Yisrael the medicine the vaccine even before he punishes us with the makkah, with the punishment. Already enacted was in the schus of Yosef HaTzadik, who kept his Yiddish name. It was now implanted in the fiber of every Jewish DNA that we keep our Yiddish names in Gullis, even when they're trying to indoctrinate us with their way of life and they're trying to ensure that we assimilate. We will forever remain mitzuyanim sham. We will forever remain different and distinct and noticeably Jewish. And even when the rest of the world is involved in orayos, in promiscuity, implanted into the DNA of every Yiddish kinder, befrat and akevos, the girls, they would rather die out kiddush Hashem than have to be involved with a Gentile, especially as cruel and ruthless as Paro, even if it meant that they're going to die. And that was implanted into the DNA of every Yiddish girl by Yocheved and Miriam. And that was Miriam was telling to her father, no, Tata, you need to do this for the Nekevos of Klal Yisrael, wants to be redeemed from exile. Let the Yiddish kinder live. Let the girls live so that they can come and be a part of the Geula process. Without them, we're not going to be redeemed. It was Bischus Arba Dvarim. Yosef Hoyo B'Mitzrayim. Yosef was in Mitzrayim, specifically Yosef at the exclusion of Tzopos Paneach. And it was Miriam who saved Klal Yisrael, coming and giving advice to her illustrious father, the Gadol Hador. These are very, very valuable lessons. And it's tremendous chizuk for us, because it teaches us the first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever we're in a tsar, in a makom tsar, in a galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already way before the makkah, already puts into motion the refuah. We're now in a time of tsar. Now is not a time to have yish, to despair. The geula is already created, it's already there. It just has to come to fruition, and we see that it already is. Like we spoke about last time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yeshua Keharavayim. He brings salvation in the blink of an eye. So I want to give a different understanding as to what that means. What does that mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yeshua Keharavayim? One understanding is very simply that we go from 0 to 100. In the blink of an eye, because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't relegated to time. Vayiritsu min abor, he was rushed out of the pit. Yosef HaTzadik was rushed out. And the Sforno says that that's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems Klal Yisrael in the blink of an eye. Or Klal Yisrael left b'chipazon when we were leaving Mitzrayim in a haste. But I want to suggest something different based on what we're saying right now. I believe what it means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yeshua Keharavayim, doesn't mean that it happens from 0 to 100. It means that the Yeshua is waiting. It's in stages. We don't see it. All we see is the makkah. But the refuah is there waiting. Waiting until HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we're ready. It's Muchan Ve'omed. It's ready and waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to open the doors. It's not that it goes from 0 to 100. It's waiting by the door. It went gradually. And that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He set into motion so that when it's time for us to be redeemed, it wasn't B'chipazon. It was the work of Yosef HaTzadik ensuring that he didn't come and assimilate by using the name Tzofnos Paneach, but the Yosef Hayo B'Mitzrayim. And it was the work of Miriam and Yocheved to ensure that Klal Yisrael would never break those boundaries of Arayos. Baruch Hashem. We have to do very little. Already the Avos, Imahos, and all of the Shiftei Kah, and all of the great Torah luminaries before us have already set everything into motion. But now all it's time, what we need to do is we need to open up the doors. And once all we do is open up doors and realize that we open up the doors, that all we have to do is open the doors. It's not complicated. Mashiach is at the doorstep. Mirtz Hashem. We'll have Ge'ula. This is the Sefer, says the Ramban. This is the Sefer HaGe'ula. The Sefer of redemption. B'chipazon, in a haste. Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should bring our Ge'ula. We should be zochet that not only is it a book of Ge'ula for Am Yisrael in the times of Mitzrayim, but as I started out in the beginning, we should be zochet that this should be our Ge'ula, our redemption from this terrible gullus, this terrible tsar as well. Have a good night.